Great to be with you guys today. Those that are in the room, those online, just wonderful to be able to be out of South Australia for a weekend and to be with you guys in the great state of Victoria. It's beautiful worship. Thank you so much, team, for leading us in that. I want to just introduce myself a little bit. As Stan said, my name's Mike and I'm married to Michelle and we've got three kids, Ella, Ben and Lucy. We're in that kind of tween teenager phase where I kind of feel like I'm just pretty much a taxi driver now, and my kids have more of a social life than I do, so we're just sort of driving around different places. But as your kids grow up, it's really interesting to see the different things that they are interested in. My daughter Ella is really interested in music and quite gifted in that. My son Ben, he loves sports, and my youngest Lucy, she loves creative things, cooking, art, you know, painting, all this sort of gear. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the way God's designed us and the way that God's wired us is that we're all different and we have different things that he has placed in us. And I wonder if I asked you today, those in the room, those online with us, what is it that God's placed in your heart? What is a dream that he's placed in your heart for your life and for your future? I wonder what that would be. Walt Disney had a dream. Walt Disney had a dream to open up an amusement park for his daughters and his extended family. That was his dream. And he realized that dream and much, much more, right? You know, Disney now is a global empire, we'd probably call it. And it's just a juggernaut in terms of bringing, well, hopefully a lot of fun and laughs into the lives of many. And when it comes to having a dream, this is what Walt Disney had to say. He said, "All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them." He had a preferred future in mind. He had a dream in mind and he pursued that and he chased after that. So Donald Bradman also had a dream. He had a dream to become the world's best and greatest cricketer. And I don't know if you know much about Sir Donald Bradman, but he started off with a golf ball, a cricket stump, and a corrugated iron tank. And that's how he learned his hand-eye coordination. He was just hitting this ball up against the tank with just his hand-eye and this stump. I don't know about you, but I struggle to hit a cricket ball coming at me at any time, let alone a little golf ball, a stump and a corrugated iron tank. And this is what he had to say when it came to embracing challenge and this idea of daring to dream. This is Sir Donald Bradman. He said, "If it's difficult, I'll do it now. If it's impossible, I'll do it presently." What an attitude. What an attitude when it comes to embracing challenge, when it comes to having a dream and chasing after that dream. He really leant into that and really went after it. Well, you might have heard of Sister Mary Aikenhead. And Sister Mary Aikenhead was born in Ireland and she gave herself over to the Lord. And as she was living and growing up, she had a desire to serve the poorest and the most needy in her society. That was her dream. It led her to move to Australia. It led her to be in Sydney. And she was in Sydney around the same time as a pandemic that went through Sydney in the 1840s. And with a few of the sisters that she was working with at the time, they had a dream. They had a dream that people who were getting sick would get the right help that they'd need. And they weren't getting that. So she cobbled together all the money that she could. She pulled everything and the resources, anyone that would help her, she would take that. And they started a hospital. A hospital now that we know as St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. Now we know it as St. Vincent's Health. It's one of the largest health providers that we have in Australia this day. I'm privileged enough to know the man who runs it these days. And it stays at the core of their mission of when Sister Mary started it, which is to be the healing ministry of Jesus. You know, Mary, she dared to dream for a preferred future, a future where sick people were able to find the help and the healing that they could in the name of Jesus. What about you? What is the dream that God's placed on your heart? We've already heard today a beautiful dream from Peter and Jenny. And the dream that God is leading them overseas to be on mission. But what is it for you? What is the dream in your heart? I want us today to explore a man in the Bible by the name of Solomon. He was the son of King David. And after David died, Solomon became the king at the young age of 20. And he had a dream to please God with his life and have a wise and discerning heart. That was when he was starting out his dream, to please God and have a wise and discerning heart. So if you've got your Bibles or phones, let's turn to 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings 3, verses 7 to 9, say this. It says, "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" At this early age in Solomon's life, what a beautiful communication he's having with God, so pure and open. And he's asking the Lord with right and good motives. He's saying, "Please help me govern my people well." That's the dream that God had placed into Solomon, what Solomon was asking the Lord for, so that he'd know right from wrong and would live a life that pleases God. So what does Solomon do? Well, in verse 8, he postures himself as a servant. He postures himself as a servant. He brings himself to God and he says, "God, you are God. I am not. I am only a little child. Please help me. And please, as your servant, lead me and guide me." It's the first thing he does. So when we dare to dream, when we have a dream in our heart, the first thing we need to do is we need to know that God is God. And we come to him and we come to him as a servant. And we ask him, say, "Lord, please help us in this." And that's the second thing he did. He asked God for help. He asked God in verse 9 for a discerning heart. So he postures himself as a servant. He asks for a discerning heart so he'll know between right and wrong. Why? So that he can govern the people effectively. It's the dream that's brewing in Solomon. In verses 10 to 14, go on to say this. "The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be.'" Verse 13. "Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Isn't it wonderful? The things that God was asked for by Solomon. He said, "I'm going to grant you these things. I'm granting these things to you." Verse 12, "I will do what you have asked." He granted him wisdom and discernment to lead his people. And then God does the most incredible thing in verse 13. In verse 13, he goes on to say, "Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for." He gives him wealth and honor so there is no equal in his lifetime among kings. Do you know that God is the God of more? And he asks us to dare to dream. Do you know that? Do you live with that as a foundation piece in your life? That God is the God of more. He desires to bless your life. He desires to open up doors and enable you to walk into places and spaces as you carry the gospel with you as you go. As you are salt and light and walk with him in these ways. As you seek to live a life to make him known. The encouragement for us here from Solomon is to dare to dream and to have the courage to ask, to actually spend time with the Lord and say, "Lord, what are you doing in me? What are you brewing in me? What are you up to? And how can I partner with you?" Because it's God's mission that people would come to know him. It's God already at work in the lives of people, in your family, in your friendship group, in your street, in your neighborhood. He's already at work. He's brought people into your life for a reason and a purpose. And he's asking you to dare to dream. What would it look like to see this person healed, this person restored, this community transformed? And he's asking you to move forward in and through that ways, to dare to dream. Billy Graham's a beautiful example of this. Billy Graham, known as America's pastor. He had some humble beginnings, grew up on a farm in North Carolina. He went to seminary and he started to pastor and preach in different communities. He started off in quite small communities and he got more and more opportunity to preach and share about Jesus in different places. God put his hand on Billy Graham in such a way that he just kept opening up door after door for him to preach and teach. And he went from smaller rooms to bigger rooms. Finally, you know, he was preaching in stadiums. He came through here. Do you know, in Melbourne, when he was in Melbourne, still, I think to this day, the largest attendance on the MCG, like breaking all OH&S records or standards that would be given in this day, it just wouldn't have happened. But I remember when we did a tour of the MCG, and they told us, and little Billy Graham's there on the quilt, and there it is. His ministry here was so significant, very personal for me as well, because when he was in Adelaide, my father put his trust in the Lord at the Billy Graham Crusade, really in many ways changing the direction of our family in how we engage in living faith. You know, Billy Graham dared to dream. He dared to dream what could be under the hand and the leading of God. How could he live a faithful life to a faithful God and share and preach the gospel? You know, Billy Graham's team have done a little bit of work and they estimate that the ministry of Billy Graham that started him preaching all the way through to print and media, television, he kept innovating as time went on. They estimate something like 2.2 billion people have heard the gospel through his ministry. And over 3 million people have made a commitment to follow Jesus through the ministry of Billy Graham. He dared to dream. And this is what he says. He says, "My one purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God, which I believe comes through knowing Christ." What is the dream that God's placed on your heart? How is he drawing you into a deeper, more life-giving relationship with him so that you can share Jesus in your context? Well, let's get back into Solomon here. And in the next chapter of 1 Kings, Solomon's wisdom is explained in a little bit more depth. 1 Kings 4, it says this, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt." And down to verse 32, "He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs numbered 1,005. Well, Solomon got busy, didn't he? He got busy. He got busy writing and he got busy being in the presence of God and sharing what is this wisdom that God was depositing in and through him. And he spoke some words of wisdom that are documented in Ecclesiastes. And he spoke about how there is a time for everything. I'm going to read to us, and if you've been in church for some time, this might be a familiar passage. Sometimes this is the sort of passage that can come out at a funeral or something like that. But I want us to consider, what is the season that we're in? There's a time for everything. So as I'm reading these words, I want you maybe even, wherever you find yourself, in the room or if you're with us online, just to close your eyes and ask the Lord, "Lord, as I dare to dream, as I see the wisdom that Solomon was given, that he asked for by the Lord, with what you are saying to me and what you're speaking into my heart or maybe my family's, what's the season that I'm in? How do I receive these words today?" You might even just want to close your eyes and just focus in on the Lord as I read these verses to us today. What season are you in? Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8 says this, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. See, Solomon is right. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. I wonder, what season do you find yourself in today? What is the season? What words from Solomon there resonate with you? What season do you find yourself in? Let me stretch that out a little bit further. What would be the season that you describe Werribee Baptist Church in as at the moment? What's the season? Can you name it? Is there a sense of being brought into a new season? Do you feel the nudging or the leading of the Holy Spirit that maybe you're getting moved into a new season? Maybe there's time for something new in and through your life. And I ask these questions knowing that we live in pretty strange times. I joked at the start that it's nice to be out of SA and come visit you guys. But you know, it's a bit weird right now because I wouldn't have thought about that, you know, 18 months ago, right? We just traveled so freely. We had so much accessibility to going to other places and things like that. And COVID has been a real disruptor in many ways. As global citizens, it's meant that we've had to, in many ways, have some reflection about where we are. You know, we've paused and we've stopped to think about what is really important about life. And I'm sure for all of us, we've done that. We've had some extended reflection time to say, well, what is important and how does that work? In last year, I was sitting on Zoom in a teaching session with Mark Sayers, who's a Melbourne boy here, and he was talking to us about COVID and some of the things that he was thinking about and reading about, and we're having this discussion around that. And he talked about how with every difficulty, there's an opportunity. And often, whenever there's a crisis, it precedes renewal. And he talked about these three phases of renewal. And he says, you know, the first phase is really the disruption, where, you know, we're kind of left going, what's going on? What's happening? And if you didn't kind of ask that last year, you're definitely in the minority. A lot of us were kind of going, what is going on? The way that we live and do life and just make decisions, it's just all changed. It all changed. We've been disrupted like never before. And the thing about COVID, as I'm sure you know, is it's as real here as it is for people overseas. It's something that's local and global. Often, you know, we have things that happen around the world and we send some money or we work with local partners, but it doesn't touch us in a way that is personal as well. Well, in South Australia, four people have died of COVID. One of those was a gentleman from our church. So from our church at Clovey, we have experienced the personal pain of this, as well as seeing what's been happening on a global scale. It's fair to say we've been disrupted. There's been a disruption that's happened, and we're asking the question, what is going on? The second phase, you know, of a crisis is this idea of disassembling of the parts. There's a deconstruction that sort of happens, where you start to ask, you know, questions like, well, what's going on around the things that I'm involved in? So, for example, church. Well, how do we do church? How does it work? What is church? What does it mean to be a disciple? And you start to kind of disassemble the parts and you kind of scatter them out on the floor, so to speak. And you kind of say, well, it's all kind of up for grabs, right? We've never been in a situation where we've been forced to think about this in this way. We might have done some, you know, focus groups, or we might have, you know, had a few brainstorming sessions, but we've never been pushed into a situation like this. And then the third phase is renewal. And in renewal, it's this recreation, actually putting it all back together and asking, what does the new normal look like? And it's in this recreation phase that renewal can really occur. And I guess the question for us is, we find ourselves in this place right now. And if we're going to take on Solomon's words for us today, it is, well, how can we seek wisdom at this time? What is the time that we're in now? What season are we in? How do we dare to dream so we move forward into a new normal that involves recreation and renewal? And what does this mean for you at Werribee? Where do you find yourself in this story? And how can you move forward into this? Because as I pray and seek the Lord around this, I really believe as a church, particularly in Australia and in the West, we're going to be entering into a planting and building phase. That's the season that we're going to be moving into, a planting and a building season. This last year has been challenging, but it's also given us a wonderful opportunity to ask some hard questions and to have some open conversations. I don't know if you've felt that or been a part of that, but we've certainly been doing that. And at Clovey, that's the space that we've been in. And that's how we've postured ourselves. And over these last 12 months, we've been asking some bigger questions about who are we, why do we exist, and how are we going to move into what God has for us into the future. So we've been going through a process. We've been calling it the God-sized dream. And we've been seeking the Lord on this. And as a church, similar size to you guys, we've been going on that journey together. So last year we were doing, you know, surveys, some online focus groups. We had a little committee that was kind of running this on the side. And we were asking the Lord, how do we actually move into the future that you have for us? How do we continue to plant and build? How do we see the opportunity and the difficulty of this season and continue to move into all that you have for us? And you can see that on the screen, we've got now 5 vision priorities that are going to lead us into the future. How do we be a people who reach? We keep introducing people to Jesus. How do we be a people who grow, that go deeper with Jesus? How do we multiply? How do we raise and release leaders into kingdom initiatives? How do we expand? One church, many gatherings. And we've been looking at that from multiple layers and levels. And how do we innovate? How do we posture ourselves as a church where we say yes to God? Our default God is yes. We want to seek you for wisdom. We want to know what season we're in, but our default for you is yes. And give us a heart to dare to dream into the future. And my hope and my prayer is that you'll know that to be true here as well. You see, at Clovey, there's a real rich history in its DNA of being a church that pioneers and innovates, a church that focuses on the main thing of introducing people to Jesus. You can see a picture here, 1970, back in the day, retro, right? You know, this is, you know, probably, you know, you look at that sign now and someone would be like, oh, I wouldn't mind that for my, you know, kind of hip cafe or whatever, you know. And now the church has grown and by God's grace, we're in a different season. And one thing remains the same though, that I believe that in this new season, that we seek God for renewal under the hand and the leading of God. And I'd ask that you pray for us in that. And I'll be praying for you because as I've been chatting to Stan, he's been speaking to me about the season that you're in also and the opportunity that is in front of you as a church as you desire to be hope multiplied and the future vision and planning that you're going to be undertaking and are undertaking. And I believe too that you'll be going into a planting and a building season. And I encourage you, with all that I can to be a people who seek wisdom like Solomon did, to be a people who know your season, but to have faith for the future, have a faith for a preferred future under the hand and the leading of God. And in many ways, like Solomon, we need to be committed to having a servant posture, asking God for help and seeking to grow in wisdom so that we can rethink how we do things. We can relearn new and innovative ways to be the church and rediscover our place in society, which is rapidly changing. But my core belief is this: churches that will thrive into the future will be the ones that are prepared to learn from this last year and into what God has for them. We're not going to be going back, but moving forward into this new normal. So today I dare you to dream. I dare you to dream. I dare you to come before the Lord and say, Lord, this has been a challenging year, but I come back before you and I dare to dream. I dare to dream. And I have 2 images that have come to mind for you as I've been praying for today. And the first one is of a diamond where something so beautiful is shaped under pressure. Something so beautiful is shaped under pressure. You might have felt the pressure of this last year, but God is shaping something beautiful in and through this community. That might be a word for you today. And the second image is a mosaic. A lot of broken pieces put together for something that is stunning and beautiful. And it might be that you feel that this last year has broken you a little bit. It's been tough. But as you bring your brokenness before the Lord, and as we as broken people come together as the body of Christ, God is the one who does something beautiful. He is the one that turns those broken pieces into a beautiful piece of art. Today I dare you to dream. I dare you to dream. And lean into the challenge. Maybe lean into the fatigue. Maybe lean into that sense of not knowing what's coming. But to simply say, yes, Lord, give me the courage to ask for the things that are deep in my heart. Give me the wisdom, Lord, to be able to move into the things that you have for us this season and into the next one. Will you stand with me? Let's pray together. Just want to give you a moment before the Lord, wherever you find yourself today. Just have a moment before the Lord. Say, Lord, what's the dream you've placed on my heart? What's the dream? What's the dream that you're brewing in our church? What season do you find yourself in? Just let the Holy Spirit come and speak to you. As the Holy Spirit's here speaking to you, just respond. Respond to His voice in your life now. I want to pray for those today who are saying yes to moving into this new season, to moving into this next season with the church, moving into this next season with what God is up to. And if that's you, I just encourage you to put your hands out in front of you. Just surrender yourself before the Lord. Just come to Him now. Just surrender yourself to Him and say, Lord, come and speak to me, Lord. Give us the courage to move forward. Fill us with faith. Give us your wisdom. Just ask Him for that now. Lord, I thank you for each one that's responding to you now. Holy Spirit, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for good questions. We pray for your faith and for your leading. I pray, Lord, in and through this place, you'll grow a people of faith who chase after you and the things of you. Give wisdom, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, give them an understanding of where they are, but where you're wanting to lead them to in Jesus' name. Lord, continue to have faith grow and rise up in and through this church, Lord, so it is salt and light into the community. May you bless and fill each one in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for diamonds, and we pray for beautiful mosaics, Lord, because you're the one who's leading in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Lord, for those that are coming to you today that are feeling a little broken, feeling fatigued, Lord, breathe your life into them this day. Give them a vision for a preferred future. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you'll help this community of faith dare to dream into its next season. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.